You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Bill Perry, NBC Sports Boston. And we have an update on Drake May's knee. That update is that Drake May was a full participant in practice again today, but was still on the injury report with a knee. The full participants were Isaiah Bolden, hamstring, Kendrick Bourne, knee, Joe Cardona, full participant, Devon Godchow, Anthony Jennings, Marte Mapu, KJ Osborne, and your starting quarterback, number 10 in your programs, Mr. Drake May, full participant, will play. If there was an MRI, if there wasn't an MRI, I think is sort of not really relevant anymore. I mean, it'd be the story, I guess. But the fact that he's been a full participant, not limited in any way, tells me that even if his knee does not feel great, there's no real problem here.
Right, because let's just say Ben Volen has the report there was an MRI. It's been read.
Yep.
So they know what the MRI says. They see whatever damage did or didn't exist inside his knee that is causing him some sort of discomfort. If it was significant, I don't think he'd be on the practice field as a full participant. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
The future of the franchise, the most important person in Foxborough, he was out there. He's a full participant. I think by now, that's the other issue. You know, long plane flights.
Sure.
Would it cause an issue? Would he fly? Like, I believe. I mean, I have no reason not to believe he's on the flight to London to go start the game and play the game against the Jaguars. So that's really the least of my concerns at this point.
Yep. Drake May, full participant. The limited participants in practice today before they left for London were Kyle Duggar with an ankle, Curtis Jacobs with a knee, Jonathan Jones, Marcus Jones, Michael Jordan, Sione Takitaki, and Marco Wilson. Your non-participants, Vidarian Lowe and Ramondre Stevenson, who weren't spotted today at all. Lowe dealing with the ankle, Stevenson dealing with the foot. Likely that neither one of them are going to play on Sunday. I don't like that news at all. I don't like either one of those pieces of news. I think Stevenson not being out there really limits the offense in a lot of ways. I know you think they're going to open it up and throw. I think they have to now if Stevenson's not playing. And Lowe, like it or not, your best tackle.
Yes.
Definitely your best left tackle. There's no question.
Yes.
And if he's out, then you're back to the clown car.
Well, we were talking about phasing DeMontre Jacobs out. That's his name, right? DeMontre Jacobs?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Because now there's a Curtis Jacobs that I'm not even really familiar with on the injury report. We were asking, is he going to get phased out, go from left tackle to right tackle to not playing anymore? Now I think there's the potential he might go back to left tackle Jacobs and now on Wenu, and there's more shakeup and more. They've been seeking five guys. How many times did we hear, not the Burgers, but we heard Gerard Mayo say, we want five guys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. We want the right five guys, the position, we'll figure it out. They have not found the right five guys in August. In September, in October, are we still shooting for November now? Maybe five guys?
Well, they just put whatever five guys they can out there who are healthy enough to go play at this point.
Wouldn't it be nice if they could put the best five, not the five that were healthy and available?
Because
that's all they're doing. They're just putting the guys out there that are available. They're picking the best of what we have to work with at this point. And it doesn't feel like it should have been like that. But you know what? We knew all along it was going to be like this. I can't tell you how many times I said on the Six Rings pod all summer, every radio hit I did, we're going to be talking about this offensive line throughout the entirety of the season. When you start crappy, when you start without depth, you don't get better and find depth in the middle of the season.
Oftentimes, no, you don't. That's true.
I mean, are there even examples? Like, I'd like to know one offensive line in the history of the world that was crappy and lacked talent, and then for some reason, later in the year, they were just really good and deep.
It's very rare. I don't think it's ever happened.
Right.
Honestly, I don't.
You were asking for a miracle.
Maybe there's a chance some guy came off the practice squad and ended up being better than people thought.
Ben Brown.
And filled in for an injury or something. Ben Brown, yeah, we'll see what the kind of season he has, I guess. But, like, that sort of thing is known to happen here and there. The whole line, no.
It was even predictable, I hate to say this, that the two guys you felt good about were on Wenu and Andrews. It almost felt predictable. Well, there's no way they both make it through the season. Like, just Murphy's Law. What can go wrong is going to go wrong in this situation. And David Andrews is out. I don't eliminate an issue for Mike Onwenu at some point. That feels like this kind of season on the offensive line.
Your starting left tackle right now, as far as it looks, is Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas is going to be your starting left tackle.
Not that Zach Thomas.
Not that Zach Thomas. Not the linebacker who retired several years ago.
I mean,
but the left tackle out of San Diego State, who was last with the Rams and has been kicking around the league and is now your starting left tackle in an international game.
Ross Tucker, who built a career on being one of these guys,
yes,
bouncing around the league, low-level offensive lineman. He's mocking this
group. So who the hell are these people?
He's like, who's Ben Brown? I study these people, and I've never heard of Ben Brown. He should have a soft spot in his heart for the Ben Browns of the world.
Totally.
And he's mocking this situation, never heard of the guy. That tells you this is, I mean, am I being over the top to say this might be historically bad in terms of a collection of talent on an offensive line?
No, I don't think so.
You're adding practice squad players literally every week. Who was the guy this week? Cletus Smith? Or Lacidus Smith or something?
Lacidus?
He's a left-handed center?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Literally, you're putting together an offensive line depth chart from every other team's sloppy seconds on their practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a good formula for success.
No, and that was really the only formula that Elliott Wolf talked about. I remember when the waiver claims coming up.
Right.
You know, we'll be very aggressive on the waiver wire. It's like, oh, good. That's very nice to see. I'm glad you're going to be aggressive about something in this offseason at the very least.
And they're sneaky smart. You lose a lot of games. You know what that means? You stay high on the waiver wire claim part.
True.
Right? If you won games, you'd get in the middle of the pack, and Lord knows what would happen.
Oh, yeah. You'd miss out on DeMontre Jacobs. Wouldn't that be terrible? 617-779-7930. Let's go to the phones. Tim in Hanover, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Christian and Andy.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Andy, I want to say, all right, man, I want to say I love the emotions that you have for this game coming up. And you know what? You're going to get your wish.
Woo.
Because I think they're going to light it up. And I'm going to be bummed out, because if they don't light it up, May can show what he can do now. Since I'm on board, you're on board, everybody's on board, right? Let's kid do what he got to do, and then I want to see this Van Pelt guy do something and throw this ball, because they can throw. I'll tell you what, these guys are a better team than what they record indicates right now, and I tell you, I think they can beat them, but they got to open up the game. I want a Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator when they selected the coach. And I'll tell you what, they didn't take him. So if this guy don't do it, I'm going to be very upset, because this kid can show exactly what he's got, and he'll play a better game than he played last year.
Yeah, probably, Tim. I don't know that this team is better than their record. I'm not sure I agree with that. But I do agree with the Kingsbury thing. I think that would have been a great addition to the coaching staff. But Kingsbury he's Washington, right?
Yes.
He's there with Jaden Daniels. That's also a team that was starting over and bringing in a new quarterback and sort of all of that. So if that was a misgiving that maybe someone had about the Patriots, Washington was in the same spot. But they went above and beyond to go out and get him. They offered him a big contract, I'd imagine. I don't know exactly what he's getting. But as a former head coach, I would think, and someone who has a pretty good history and track record at offensive coordinator, he was demanding more in salary than someone like Alex Van Pelt. And I don't know if it ever even got that far. But yeah, I mean, listen, other teams out there that needed offensive coordinators went out and did what they had to do to get the guys that they wanted. The Patriots settled for their 12th choice.
Well, and this goes back, they did the Adam Peters hire, and then he did everything beneath him, right?
Right.
Like, he kind of took control. Different approach than the Patriots took, promoting Gerard Mayo, and then keeping Elliott Wolf, although not technically really elevating him until well into the process. What was that, June? I think he got the executive vice president title.
Yeah.
After he had already drafted and done free agency and done the combine and spoke and done all these various things. It was just a different approach. And the network is part of this. You know, I don't know what Peter's relationship was or how he lured Cliff Kingsbury there. Like, that's a modern offensive mind. Maybe it's as simple as cash. They didn't want to pay Nick Caley.
Yep.
The reports were that Nick Caley wanted $4+ million as a first-time coordinator. I got to be honest. I think I would have told him to pound sand, too. But I don't know.
If you really wanted him, I mean,
I don't think I really wanted him.
Yeah.
How can I know? How many times you call plays? Never. How many times you've been a coordinator? Never. Am I going to pay you like a veteran coordinator? Why? Who the bleep do you think you are?
Well, because if you don't, you end up with Alex Van Pelt.
Okay, that's fine. Who
is,
I don't
is that
know
fine? Is, I don't know. You tell me. Is it fine so far?
I didn't love it at the time.
Right.
You hated
it at the time, and you don't like it now.
Caley to Van Pelt. How did, like, what happened with everything else? That's
a bunch of other people told him no, too.
Also, I mean, wonder, like, what's Van Pelt making? Is he making bare bones minimum? Was he truly just the only guy that took whatever they were offering kind of higher because he was so desperate for this opportunity that it had eluded him for 15 years?
He was like the 12th interview, right?
Right. But, I mean, I don't know where the money lies. So you didn't want to pay Caley $4 million or $4.5 million.
Right.
Is Alex Van Pelt making $1 million? $500,000? $22.50 an hour? Like, I have no idea. Have you heard any? Because I have not seen anything about his salary.
Pro shop gift
card. For all I know, he got a copy of the Dynasty from Jeff Benedict. They had a few of those lying around, so they gave that to him. Like, I don't believe I've ever seen it reported.
I've not either. And oftentimes you don't really see that anyway. I feel like you don't get
usually
a lot of
those, high-paid ones you get.
Right.
You're like, oh my God, they're paying this guy $5 million as a coordinator. That's head coaching type money. But Alex Van Pelt, was it as simple as he took what they were offering?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. That's not always the best way to get talent.
They were the only team that would talk to him and offer him a coordinator play-calling job, and he was the only guy that wanted to come to New England. I mean, I think it's as simple as that.
Desperation on both ends.
Yeah, a sad, desperate situation.
A marriage made in desperation.
Pretty much.
Those usually work. Yeah. A quick answer to the 630 who says, I'm confused. Is Hart rooting for the Patriots or what? LOL, make up your mind, Andy.
Yeah, make up your mind, Andy.
It's not that hard. I want Drake May to throw for like 300 yards. I want him to sling it all over the field. I want him to make plays, have fun, and lose.
Fair enough. 617-779-7937. We'll get to more of your phone calls. And do the Patriots have a culture problem? Christian Barmore, we'll get back on that topic. Jalen Polk as well. Some of the other problems that have been floating around in this locker room lately. We'll get to all of that with your calls right after Jackson tells you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Boston Bruins got the 5-3 win over the Avalanche last night. Up next for the Bees, Saturday night, they will be in Utah to play the Utah Hockey Club. And Marcus Jones returned to the field today during practice. Verdarian Lowe and Ramondre Stevenson remained out. And Drake May does not look like he had an MRI on his knee because he played pretty well in practice and he was there. So they are heading to London as we speak for Sunday's matchup with the Jaguars. Week 7 of the NFL schedule begins tonight with Denver going to New Orleans to see the Saints. The kickoff is at 8:15. You can hear the call of that game on WEEI AM 850. And Westwood One's coverage begins at 7:30 also tonight, which you can hear on WEEI 93.7, is the Boston College Eagles take on Virginia Tech. That game starts at 7:30. Like I said, you can catch that right here on WEEI. Tonight, game 3 of the ALCS between the Yankees and the Guardians. The Yankees up 2-0, and first pitch from Cleveland is at 5:08, or it just happened about 8 minutes ago. And game 4 between the Dodgers and Mets will begin tonight at 8:08. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivery results since 1946. I'm Jackson. No affiliation there. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
That was a portion of the body cam video from Christian Barmore's incident. I don't want to say arrest because he didn't get arrested. So that would be inaccurate. But his incident the other night in Providence, apparently a rough part of Providence. We got a bunch of text messages from the 401 talking about how that area he got pulled over in is not a good area.
That's been consistent for 24 hours on the text line. So I'm starting to take it. There's enough people saying it that it seems true.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we don't know where he was or what we know where he was driving. We don't know where he was when he was not in the car and who he was with or what was going on or anything else. So I don't want to speculate too much, but it doesn't sound like he was in a great neighborhood.
Nope.
Either way, regardless, it was not so much the neighborhood. It was the tone and tenor of the entire interaction that we saw. Now, we didn't get an entire video. I haven't seen an entire beginning to end video of the entire interaction. We haven't seen that. We did see that with Tyreek Hill. We saw the whole thing from when they pulled him over, from when he drove by to when they were arresting Calais Campbell and Jonnu Smith, not arresting him, but putting him in cuffs and leading them away. And those police officers in Miami, who I thought were a little out of control, I thought they were kind of way over the top, as opposed to what you see in these two clips. Now, I saw one 1-minute clip and one 10-second clip. And in both of those clips, Barmore as opposed to the police officers, which you can't say in the Tyreek Hill video. Barmore seems like the person being much more aggressive, much more confrontational, much more belligerent, all of those things. And then there's another clip where he's, screaming at him, don't touch me, what are you, crazy? And his mother's there, and she's yelling about how he's on blood thinners and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just really, it's loud. It's loud, and under other circumstances, like as you said, if he was being pulled over by those cops in Miami, this whole thing may have gone a very, very different way.
Awful. This could have had a really bad ending.
Yeah.
The way he was in my opinion, I'm not a trained police officer, but he was sort of escalating the situation with his energy. Now, he is a natural fast talker. That's mm-hmm. just how he talks at all times. Anyone who's heard a press conference with him, that's how he talks. But is it smart to say, if I wanted to, I could outrun you. You wouldn't have caught me or something.
It's like, okay, OJ.
Why would you bring that up?
Yeah, why would you even say that?
Like, what are we talking about here? And then,
and also, you probably couldn't, you know? Like, those police
right.
cars
I
go
think
pretty
we
fast.
Got you. There's a lot of us with a lot of vehicles. We know these streets pretty well.
What kind of car was it, by the way? Do we know what kind of car it is?
It was a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Yeah, I think that's
like
right.
Who are you out running in a Jeep Grand Cherokee? You know what
well,
I mean?
It could be souped up. Like, sometimes they make those like Hellcat versions or whatever that are like
a Jeep Grand Cherokees?
Well, I don't know if Hellcat might be the Durango.
It's the trap car.
But some of those the players have, they look like normal cars,
but
and
they're not
like 1,000 horsepower under the hood.
Hit the nitrous and
they can outrun
cloud
you.
Of dust, you're
so
gone.
I'll take his word for it. If he wanted to outrun him, I just wouldn't offer that up to the police. Like, I wouldn't have offered that up. A lot went wrong here. I don't know that I would come out of the gates with I play football for the Patriots. So, like, are you trying to coerce me? Are you trying to, like, get me to let you off because you play football for the Patriots? That's not really relevant to this situation, correct?
Not when you're having an argument with them.
Right.
You know?
Either way,
guys,
it's not really relevant.
Hey, sorry, listen, just so you know, I play for the Patriots.
Right.
I'm a big guy, whatever. You know, there's if he, in a lot of other instances, or in any other instance, if he was calm and sort of just chilling out, which, considering what they found under the seat, you thought he might be a little chiller. What did you think? But he was not. He was very, very combative, very confrontational. They found drugs in the car. They let him leave. It's not like they arrested him or anything. His mother came, I guess, and I don't know if she picked him up or if someone else did.
She
was there. She was
reported,
on scene.
It was reported the mother took him home.
Okay, so there you go. And which also, calling your mom at 1 a.m, like, that's a little weird. But either way, not gonna judge.
Don't judge him for. There's a lot of things I'll
judge him for.
Calling mom, not necessarily one of them.
I guess not.
That might have been the best decision he made all night.
I guess.
Right?
Maybe. I don't know. You don't have a friend. You don't have somebody else. Like,
what do I want? The guy that's at my flop house and or whatever. Hey, I got a flop house down the street. Can I just walk there? Like, no. Call mom.
I guess
that's the best thing he made. I question here, and I'm trying to Google it real quick. Do blood thinners affect your mood or anger? Like, could they make you be more angry?
Couldn't tell you. No idea. I don't know I don't know what they do other than thin your blood.
And
no
what's
idea.
Her yelling, he's on blood thinners, how is that relevant to the situation?
Because they were trying to get him out of the car, and it was sort of like when Tyreek Hill was like, hey, I just had knee surgery, don't try and handle me like
well,
that.
If they injure him in any way, then he would bleed a lot very quickly.
Maybe that.
I hadn't thought of that, Jackson, but there's a legitimate possibility she's thinking, like, if these guys beat him or shoot him, he's going to bleed out and die because
exactly,
he's on blood thinners.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that at all, but that may be actually where her line of logic was going. And based on history and based on how worked up her son was, I don't think it's a terrible line of logic
not
for her.
Not at all.
No, I would agree. And I also am not going to, I haven't seen the whole thing. In the clips that you saw, he's being it's the only way I can go by these things. You watch the video, you judge how the cops are acting, you judge how the guy in the car is acting, and you make a judgment from that, from the minute and 10 seconds or whatever that I've seen of however long, I don't even know how long the interaction took altogether. I have no idea. But in those 75 whatever seconds, the cops seem like they're pretty restrained. They seem like they're being pretty patient, and he seems like he is a little out of control.
Will probably annoy part of our audience because part of our audience is annoyed by this whole discussion. We got some of those calls yesterday, but from where I sat, and as you said, from what I can see, I actually think the police officers deserve a pat on the back and a commendation for they did a good job. They took a situation that I've seen go wrong on other police videotapes,
right,
on cops, on whatever, and they, I think, showed restraint, showed professionalism. It ended very, very well. A car got towed and a mother picked up a son.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's about as good as you can ask for in situations like this that could go sideways very quickly.
Yeah, 100%. Agreed. And we bring all this up not to make it a whole thing about Christian Barmore, who's not even playing on the team right now and is out for the year with this blood clot condition, which again, Gerard Mayo said he might be coming back this some point this year. I wonder if this is going to play a factor in that happening or not happening. I guess we'll see. But the big question now is this, on top of what happened with Jabril Peppers, on top of, to a much lesser extent in terms of seriousness and legal aspects and everything, this whole back and forth between Gerard Mayo and Jalen Polk. We asked Tommy Curran about this, about the vibe sort of in the locker room and the rebuild and how it's all going and what this all means. And I tend to agree with what he had to say. Like, this is not a season where you're counting on people to go out and win games and try and be a playoff team. This is where you try and figure out what you have, what you're going to build on, what you're going to do going forward. And as our exercise we did about the roster shows, Christian Barmore, if he's healthy, is a building block on this team.
Yeah.
This is a guy that he's part of the foundation. He's someone you're going to build your house on top of because he is one of your better players. And that's sort of an issue here. And with Jalen Polk, it's a guy you spent a second round pick on, your latest second round draft pick, a wide receiver that's a weakness on your team. You were expecting him to be a building block going forward in the future on a rookie deal. And that's starting to look like it may not be the case either. So is the culture is there a culture problem, first of all, do you think, Andy? And if there is, do you think that's going to affect this team's future?
Culture problems seem strong. I don't know if I want to go all the way there. I think there's a problem. And the example I would use is, and I don't know if you guys have joked about this, seen this over the years, they give everybody snow brushes before it's about to snow to make sure that rookies, people from Florida, have the tools to take care of their life.
Right.
Shouldn't you be a little bit more proactive, apparently, with some of the things your players are doing in terms of interactions with the police? Don't go on social media immediately. Interactions with the police. Maybe handle yourself in a more calm, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's my example. If you go to every detail to the point where they don't even have to buy their own snow brushes, you'll make sure they have a snow brush. How about we make sure they know how to interact with the police? Especially, you can assume, right?
Right.
You're dealing with young men that they're going to have interaction with the cops at some point. Pulled over for speeding, at a bar, out late, tail light out, wrong tint.
Someone messing with them in public.
Something.
Yeah, anything.
They're
sure,
going to interact
right,
with the police. So if you're going to try to cover every area of preparation for your players, because that's what you do, you're a full service organization, I think they need to ramp up efforts in that area, because there's too many of these in a short period of time. And this isn't a Mayo versus Belichick thing. They had issues under Belichick. They're having issues under Mayo. Mm-hmm. I think it's a generational thing. I think more and more of these young people, social media is just, it's what they do. If they have food,
they tweet
about it. Mm-hmm. If they have an interaction at this, they post about it. So dealing with that, getting them to not do that is one of the aspects here. Because if he didn't tweet about it, would we know everything we know? I don't know. Some of these things tend to still be able to be brushed under the rug and kind of skate. But when he tweets about it, okay, it's out there. I just had five officers from Providence Police, racism at its best. Okay, now people are going to sniff around, get the police report, freedom of information. Mm-hmm. It's all going to, if you didn't tweet about it, maybe we don't even know about it yet.
Probably not.
Right?
Yeah, if he didn't tweet about it, it wouldn't be, the police department wouldn't feel pressure to put their side of the story out.
Right.
And their side of the story makes them look like they handled the situation much better than he did.
And to update, apparently Cherokee Trackhawk is the version that one of those will beat a souped-up Camaro anytime.
Oh, really? Okay. I stand corrected then. I wouldn't have.
Now, I don't know
that.
If he had the souped-up Trackhawk version, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these players have these SUVs and vehicles that you don't necessarily think, you're like, that's not a Lamborghini. Well, no, but it's got a lot of horses under that
right.
hood.
Also, wasn't it like a residential neighborhood they were in?
I don't think really.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay. I thought I read that they were near some houses or near.
There might have been houses, but they're different kinds of houses.
I guess that's true.
If
they weren't on a main road, it's sort of hard to peel out and outrun somebody when you're in a.
Well, I don't know if he's telling the truth, but he thinks
right.
he could.
It's
like Jalen Polk thinks he can catch the ball.
Exactly. That's a good point. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Gary is in Foxborough. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Gary?
So what I don't get about this is he got pulled over with weed in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that like the same as me getting pulled over with the open container no matter what color I am?
Not necessarily, because they would take you out of the car and they would much of a racial contingent there either. It's easy for me to say, but just watching the video, it didn't seem like that. I also don't know what the racial makeup of the officers were either, but that may not necessarily matter. I just think that in general, when the difference between DUI with alcohol and DWI with weed is you can do a roadside test for alcohol with different, you know, a breathalyzer and things like that. You don't breathalyze for weed. You know, it's a little different.
They put a bag of Funyuns like 5 feet away from you and see what happens.
See if you tear the bag open.
The caller is right.
Like, yeah, but there's, if they knew for sure that he was smoking, then that may have been different. I don't think they knew that for sure.
And right. And I don't know how that goes, but if I have like an open beer in my cup holder, that's a violation.
Yep.
Whether they can tell I've been drinking or not, that's a violation. You can't have, like, you have to have it in the trunk if it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have an open container in your car. And I do think, I mean, smoking while driving would be a violation. It's
driving style, you can't do that, right?
Under the influence. It's just a different chemical that you're under the influence of. And that's another reason why I think if they wanted to, you know, use that phrase, trump up charges, they probably could have trumped up some charges.
Yeah, they could have.
It seems like they went strictly on the vehicle charges. The license plate was obstructed. The registration was expired. And the tint was apparently too dark or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they stuck with those.
And he was kind of resistant, you know? Like, I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. I don't know that he was under the influence, but I think when he got out and acted the way he was, you're tiptoeing the line of resisting.
Yeah.
Don't
touch me. Get away from me. Don't touch. Resist it. I mean, if they want to make it that,
Trump up charges, they could
write that down. The subject was resisting.
I think they were very nice to him, quite honestly. I think they treated him about as well as you could be treated the way he was acting.
Yeah. In the minute, 10 seconds that I saw, I haven't seen the whole thing, which is an important detail here. But yeah, in the clips that they released, which also is the clips they released, so who knows how they were for the rest of them. But it didn't seem like it was particularly aggressive on their end. Nope. Certainly not like it was in the Tyreek Hill video where I thought those cops were way out of control.
In both this incident and I think the Tyreek Hill thing, if they had just handled the traffic incident and the situation with the police like a responsible adult, none of this happens.
Agreed.
Okay, so yeah, the cops may have been a little aggressive with the Tyreek Hill thing, but to me, it's like when he's got his window rolled up when they come to the thing, they knock on his window, he's like, don't knock on my window. Like, since when do you dictate how a traffic stop goes?
True.
Like, that's
but he
not,
did give him the license, and then they started to walk away, he rolled the window up, and they sort of lost their mind after that.
I said it yesterday, it just seems like entitlement.
Mm. It is. No, there's no doubt.
There's definitely some of that.
And
yeah.
I think in the four groups that we're talking about here, Tyreek started out as an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Those cops were a-holes pretty quickly.
Yep.
Like, they lost it. And Christian Barmore came off as an a-hole. The Providence cops, I didn't see anybody acting like an a-hole.
Yeah, I agree.
In what we have to work with.
Yeah, true. And that's all we have to comment on so far. 617-779-7937, our good friend Steve in Fall River. Go ahead, Steve.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Steve. Good evening.
So you had a caller call and say, Drake May has to have a 300-yard game. Drake May doesn't have to have anything. He's in his second start of his career. I wanted to ask, I wish you would ask him, what if he has a lousy game? What are you going to do? Jump off a bridge, throw the guy away?
No, I wouldn't jump off a bridge or throw the guy away, but I would be a little disappointed if he goes to London, takes on a very weak passing defense like Jacksonville's, and has a really bad game. I'd be disappointed. I'd probably rip him the next day. Why, like, what are we supposed to do? Now just not react to it?
I'll probably just brush it off and say he's young, he's learning, and this is a crappy team around him.
Sure. It was a crappy team around him against Houston. It was much better, and he looked pretty good in that game. Well, not great, but he looked good. I want to see him get better. I want to see him improve as the season goes on, and he started at a pretty high point.
And no fun, Steve in Fall River. I don't think the caller was literal.
No, I don't think
like,
so.
Like, it was like a hopeful has to.
Right. I hope that he's going against a bad team. I hope he has a good game. Right, exactly. Yeah, that's how I took it.
So I didn't feel like we needed to grill him all. Oh, if he doesn't, what are you going to do as a caller?
Right.
Like Harry Hardo, thanks.
Cam is in Wilmington. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, Jalen Polk and his comments with Mayo. I mean, I think this is an interesting turning point for Drake May because, again, this is a guy that you came into the league with, but also you're the quarterback. It's time to show you're a franchise player and a franchise leader. Maybe he can't reel in guys like Barmore and Peppers because he doesn't have that pedigree yet, but I would like to see him, you know, tell his guys, like, hey, man, like, you can't talk to coach like that. Like, this is how we do things around here. Be a little bit more of a vocal leader behind the scenes. I'd like to see that kind of clean things up and rely on May to be part of that culture change as well.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you might see that. You might see May take on that role. I'm not sure. He's not really even the senior quarterback on this team right now, even. So I'm not expecting him to jump into that role 10 toes right away like how, say, Tom Brady did as soon as he got the chance to start. I think it's a little different, and he has a different personality. But
definitely.
I'm anticipating he grows into that role.
Sure.
I don't know if it's going to be in time to save Jalen Polk, but I anticipate he will behave that way at some point. Yeah.
And, I mean, Gerard Mayo has to take care of Gerard Mayo. He's the head coach. He's the culture setter. And I'm going to keep going back to it ad nauseum. I always compare it to the either fill-in teacher, why am I calling it, drawing a blank, substitute teacher, mm-hmm. or the first day of school teacher. Most teachers start as a hard ass and then ease off. Because when you try to go the other way, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
If you come off easy, if you're the everybody's friend, letting kids throw paper balls around the room, whatever, and then try to get them to stop, it's almost impossible at that
right.
point. But if you start off as the disciplinarian, you can ease up wherever you want. And usually it works better. The problem is, he wants people to speak their mind, right? He wants them to have opinions.
Mm-hmm.
He wants them to feel like adults and they can express those opinions publicly. Okay. Aren't they doing what you told them they were allowed to
do? Sure are.
And it's not going great. Now, one solution to that is...
Well, some of them are committing, allegedly, you know, committing crimes. So, I mean,
I was more on the Polk side
of things. On the Polk side of things, sure.
That's the other issue. Yeah. Right now, he has kind of the on-field, in-locker room issues of just normal
right.
competitors bitching about playing time, field, balls, things of that nature. And then he's got these...
Legal issues.
Yeah. I said it to Meko yesterday. I wonder deep down if there's a part of him that's like... Why did I want to be a head coach?
Hmm.
This is awful.
Yeah.
We're 1-5. I got a bunch of locker room babies. I got a bunch of criminals going through the court system. Like, when do we get to the good part of being an NFL head coach? I guess on the 15th and the 1st or whatever of every month, maybe.
Could be. I'd imagine that's probably when it feels the best. 617-779-7937, your phone number. We got odds and ends coming up. And Jackson said that he has a story for us, which I'm going to use odds and ends to just dedicate
Absolutely.
To this story.
It's
I don't
an
know
odd
what this
story
is.
And we can't wait to see how it ends.
I can't wait to hear this. Jackson will tell us how his last couple of weeks, months, I don't know exactly how long. He said there's a story that we need to tell on the air, so we'll get to that next. Time for odds and ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. As promised, Jackson said he has a story of something. Why, I haven't seen you in a while, Jackson, so maybe this is why. What's been going on with you, buddy?
Yeah, it has been a while. So I'm gonna warn you, the story starts off very sad, but there is a good positive ending to it, okay?
Okay.
So,
like the grandfather in the wars.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, sort of like that. All right,
so,
go on.
So my mother, she is in the hospital. She's in the ICU for about 2.5 weeks now.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I know. I'm not, you know, I just bring it up because of where I was.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, over the last 2.5 weeks, you know, that's the first and biggest thing that's happening in my life. And so I'm back and forth to the hospital every single day.
Mm-hmm.
In that span of time, my car's broken down. I lost my wallet. My credit card got used by whoever stole my wallet. My fiance's credit card got used. So, you know, life is...
Your fiance's credit card was in your wallet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she has two of them in there. Yeah.
Got it.
So, you know, there's that going on, right? So I show up to the hospital the other day, and, you know, the Muddy River near the Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital?
Yes.
I know the
Muddy River, yes.
Yes, I think Brian has a picture of it, yes. So I get there in the evening to visit my mom.
Yep, there it is.
Yep, and nature called because I've been drinking a lot of water because I've been stressed. So I drink a lot more water than normal.
I also drink a lot when I'm stressed, but
yes.
Not water. But
I got to hydrate. So nature calls. I go into that very nice little serene kind of park area. I know it's out of the public view.
What time was it?
It's about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening.
So starting to get dark, okay.
Yeah, maybe a little bit earlier, but yeah, so I go and I finish up. And I'm walking back up the bank, and my feet go out from under me, and I slide down the bank into the Muddy River waist high.
So this wasn't while you were in the act of peeing?
No, it was
You
after.
Had finished, and you were walking back.
Yes.
And it was dark. Was it dark out at
it
this point?
It was dark, yes.
And you just lost your footing, and you fell in the river.
I fell in the river. And I can't tell you, one, how dirty it was, and two, How many sharp sticks there were down there? It was...
Hope they were sticks.
My legs looked like I got kicked by like four UFC guys. Like,
how far did you fall? Like, how
I
many?
Was about a little bit more than waist high.
Wow.
And I had a hoodie on, so the bottom of the hoodie was all soaked.
Okay, I bet, yeah. This is a detail that only I would ask about.
Please.
So, the intention was to relieve yourself.
Yes.
So while you're waist deep, did you just be like, well, I might as well just go while I'm down here?
I finished the act.
Zipped?
Yes. Yeah. You know how I was kind of like, you know, leaning on a tree, just kind of making sure that I had something buffering me so nobody saw me.
On a tree.
Yeah. And then so I get done and I go like, you know, I kind of turn around to go like, you know, skip up the hill a little bit just to kind of, you know, get my footing. And my footing was not there. The Muddy River is very muddy, I can tell you that.
Really?
Yes.
The Muddy River.
It's very muddy.
A little muddy this time of year. Okay.
And I saw, and the funniest thing, and I wish somebody saw this because I'm, you know, even though it happened to me.
Jackson, I wish I saw this more than I wish I've ever seen anything.
Oh,
in my life.
A video.
This
oh,
would
yeah.
have been the.
I need a video.
Oh my god.
I'm a fan of humor like that kind of stuff. And so I tried to pull myself up by a tree root. It breaks. fall back in.
Now it's Homer
Simpson. Why didn't you find an establishment?
Or like
though,
Ricky
to, like,
from Trailer
go
Park.
The bathroom.
Because it was a nice little creek. It was and away from the public. It was right there. And
I'm
like,
I'm
going to
pee in this creek.
Was this on your way to or from the hospital? On your way to the hospital.
Yeah.
So did you go in and say, hey, I need help?
No, I went in and just...
Wait, dripping wet? You just walked in?
This is what am I going to do?
Covered in cuts and bruises?
I'm not going to drive back to Dedham, put on some new pants and stuff, and then go back. Like, it was... I had to do what I got to do.
But you didn't need treat. You didn't ask for treatment or
anything? No. But there's a lot of...
How you feeling now?
I'm feeling okay. I mean, my back's tweaked, but there's... Oh, so, all right. All right, fun, happy ending to the
story. It gets worse. Okay. No, it gets better.
Right. So last night, I get home... After seeing my mom in the hospital, I'm craving, craving a Popeye's chicken sandwich. It's 10:55. I race over there, try to get there, ask for the chicken sandwich, and they say, no, we're closing. Sorry. So I leave, and then I think about it a little bit, and I back up, and I say, you can't just make one chicken sandwich really quick. Guy goes, hold on. And he comes back with 4 pounds of chicken. Like the fried chicken that they didn't sell that day.
Wow.
He gave me a 4-pound bag of fried chicken and sent me on my way.
Wow.
Yeah.
So all's well that ends well.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
You got free chicken.
And a lot of bad things have happened in the last month or so, but last night I got a real treat.
So this just happened yesterday.
Yeah, and the fall happened on Tuesday, and the fried chicken happened yesterday, yeah.
Okay.
Did you work yesterday?
Yes.
Warrior.
Oh, yeah. I've been working every day.
He fell in a muddy river peeing and then hurt his back and broke a root... You had a little sore throat and called in.
No, I had a upper respiratory infection, first of
you
all.
You can make it sound more than it is, but
that's
you had a sore throat.
That's what the doctor said. It's not my words.
I
want to
see
said.
A note.
I'll show it to you if you
I
want.
I probably have an upper respiratory infection and some kind of toxic thing.
Jay,
going on
you may
now.
Have
he
several,
stepped on a needle.
You may have a lot of infections. Like I honestly, that water you fell in.
It's not good.
It's not water.
It's mud. Yeah, I mean, it's just.
It's a bathroom. You were using it as a bathroom.
Right.
I know.
Well,
you didn't
pee in the river. He peed away from the river. Yeah.
On a hill
yeah.
headed toward the river. Where do you think the pee goes?
Well, no, yeah, you didn't pee into, so, the,
no,
into
no,
the river,
no, no,
right?
But it's, you know.
Pee rolls downhill.
Yeah, probably.
Just like poop.
I made him giggle. There's probably some poop in that water.
So, and, you know, and
it's not mud.
In times of you know, distress and stress, you know, you got to look at the funny things in life. And I thought that was a damn funny sequence. For
that
me.
Is funny.
I got to tell you, you've done a great job of staying upbeat through some crap.
You got to do it, man.
Yeah.
Well, you did get free chicken.
Good news, she got moved out of the ICU today.
Well, that's great
news. That's the best news.
Very, very good
news. Absolutely.
That's better than the free
chicken. Yes, of course.
It's chicken. It's fried chicken. It's fried chicken.
It sure is. So, Jackson, listen.
It's quite a tale to tell.
That's a good story.
I feel like you're due for some more good luck now, though.
I think so, too.
You've kind of hit the boom, 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 boom. Bad luck comes in sevens.
I've always been quite even Stevens. Yeah.
Right? Like Jerry Seinfeld.
Exactly. You got that right.
Break up with the girl, you got a new one. There you go. Well, there you go. That
it is what it is. This too shall pass. I will heal. My mom will heal. And
did you learn a lesson?
I don't pee next to a really steep bank.
I think that's a good lesson.
A good lesson. Good lesson
probably
in general.
What I should have learned before my 39th birthday.
Yeah. Stay away from the rivers in general, I think.
They all
you know,
take different times and lengths to learn and get the life's lessons in.
All right. And a happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah,
it was your birthday the other day.
The free chicken was yesterday.
Wait, did this happen on your birthday?
No, my birthday was yesterday, but I got the free chicken without even telling him it was my birthday.
Amazing.
That's tremendous.
Amazing. Did you eat it all?
Oh no, I got some back here, but there's a lot. I'm gonna make.
You
so
carry it around with you?
No, I brought some for lunch. But there's gonna be. I'm gonna do so many different chicken recipes in my air fryer. I'm so excited.
Loaded up on ibuprofen and fried chicken.
Yeah. There it is. Yep.
Twice hey. Fried chicken in the air fryer.
Sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. All right, Jackson.
Thank you
Burns,
for listening to my story.
Happy birthday. We're glad you're okay. Maybe get tested for some things from falling into that water. And that's all the time we have here today. I think odds and ends every once a month maybe should just be the Jackson Story Hour. I'd be okay with that. Oh, so that was a tremendous story.
I feel like Stiz has stories sometimes too. Maybe we can get a Stiz Story Hour.
I feel like Stiz's stories aren't okay for the public airways.
We can massage them.
That could also be true. All right. Stick around. We got Fitzy and Shime coming your way for about an hour and a half. And then after that, John Mita Perel and the rest of the gang, BC football on these airwaves right here on WEEI, taking on the Virginia Tech Hokies. Don't touch the dial. Leave it right here on WEEI all night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on Boston Sports Original.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app